it was my secret door to a different world,
said Nutmeg.
A world that belonged only to me. In that world, imagination was everything. The better you were able to imagine what you wanted to imagine, the farther you could flee from reality. And what I really liked about it was that it was free. It didn't cost a thing. It was wonderful. But imagining beautiful clothes in my mind and transferring the images to paper was not just a way for me to leave reality behind and steep myself in dreams. I needed to go on living. It was as natural and obvious to me as breathing. So I assumed that everyone else was doing it too. When I realized that everyone else was not doing it, that they couldn't do it even if they tried, I told myself, I'm different from other people, so the life I lead will have to be different from theirs.
Nutmeg left secondary school and transferred to a school of dressmaking. To raise the money for her tuition, she begged her mother to sell one of her last remaining pieces of jewelry. With that, she was able to study sewing and cutting and designing and other such useful skills for 2 years. When she graduated, she took an apartment and started living alone. She put herself through a professional fashion design school by waitressing in restaurants and taking odd jobs, sewing and knitting. And when she had graduated from this school, she went to work for a manufacturer of quality ladies' garments, where she succeeded in getting herself assigned to the design department. There was no question but that she had an original talent. Not only could she draw well, but her ideas and her point of view were different from those of other people. She had a clear image of precisely what she wanted to make, and it was not something she had borrowed from anyone else. It was always her own, and it always came out of her quite naturally. She pursued the tiny details of her image with all the intensity of a salmon swimming upstream through a great river to its source. She had no time for sleep. She loved her work and dreamed only of the day she could become an independent designer. She never thought about having fun outside of work. In fact, she didn't know how to do any of the things people did to have fun. Before long, her bosses came to recognize the quality of her work and took an interest in her extravagant, free-flowing lines. Her years of apprenticeship thus came to an end, and she was given a free hand as the head of her own small section. The most unusual promotion. Nutmeg went on to compile a magnificent record of accomplishment year after year. Her talent and energy attracted the interest of people not only within the company, but throughout the industry. The world of fashion design was a closed world, but at the same time it was a fair one, a society ruled by competition. A designer's power was determined by one thing alone: the number of advance orders that came in for the clothing that he or she had designed. There was never any doubt about who had won and who had lost. The figures told the whole story. Nutmeg never felt that she was competing with anyone, but her record could not be denied. She worked with total dedication until her late 20s. She met many people through her work, and several men showed an interest in her, but their relationships proved short and shallow. Nutmeg could never take a deep interest in living human beings. Her mind was filled with images of clothing, and a man's designs had a far more visceral impact on her than the man himself ever could. When she turned 27, though, Nutmeg was introduced to a strange-looking man at an industry New Year's party. The man's features were regular enough, but his hair was a wild mass, and his nose and chin had the hard sharpness of stone tools. He looked more like some phony preacher than a designer of women's clothing. He was a year younger than Nutmeg, as thin as a wire, and had eyes of bottomless depth, from which he looked at people with an aggressive stare that seemed deliberately designed to make them feel uncomfortable. In his eyes, though, Nutmeg was able to see her own reflection. At the time, he was an unknown but up-and-coming designer, and the two were meeting for the first time. She had, of course, heard people talking about him. He had a unique talent, they said, but he was arrogant and egotistical and argumentative, liked by almost no one.
"We were two of a kind," she said. "Both born on the continent. He had also been repatriated after the war, in his case from Korea, stripped of possessions. His father had been a professional soldier, and they experienced serious poverty in the post-war years. His mother had died of typhus when he was very small, and I suppose that's what led to his strong interest in women's clothes.